From the Arizona Daily Star and Tucson.com, this is the Wildcast.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Wildcast podcast. I'm Justin Spears, joined alongside here sports editor of the Arizona Daily Star, Ryan Finley. So, I mean, the last few days has just been pretty crazy here, especially in Tucson, as we all know, with the FBI investigation involving Arizona assistant coach Buck Richardson. Some more information has been released from last night's podcast, but yesterday's podcast. We really didn't have any statements from the university, but Ryan, last night was just a whirlwind of statements.
Yeah, within a span of about a half hour, the U of A president, Robert Robbins, issued a statement saying that they've begun the process of firing Buck Richardson, and basically it was platitudes about how they've always had a culture of compliance, but they've got an assistant coach being investigated by the FBI. The chair of the Arizona Board of Regents was even stronger, and he sent out something basically saying this is an embarrassment to the university.
Unacceptable
to the university system. He said something along the lines of, look, we all like basketball, but this is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And then Dave Hickey, in his Wildcat Wednesday, issued a statement basically saying, we have a culture of compliance here, and we're working, you know, we're aware of what's going on. The kinds of things executives say. To me, Justin, and maybe you'll disagree with me, the fact that Sean Miller's name was not mentioned in any of those statements, and between those three statements, it's probably 1,000 words worth of stuff. Yeah. The fact that Sean Miller's name was not mentioned speaks volumes to me, and I think leads me to believe that this may not be over, and that it may be more than Buck Richardson who won't be here much longer.
And that's kind of wishy-washy, because I saw Greg Hansen, he tweeted out saying that there was no defense for Sean Miller. There was no Dave Hickey coming out saying, we're behind Sean Miller 100% of the way. And I totally agree with Greg when he tweeted out. But then there was a lot of other fans on Twitter that came out saying that, why are we jumping to conclusions? If Sean Miller isn't the target here, if he isn't the victim, his name's not going to be involved. So why are we jumping to that conclusion?
Are you trying to tell me that people on Twitter can sometimes argue with you about sports?
They can. I'm always open.
Greg Hansen sometimes angers people? This is shocking.
A columnist angers people. Believe that.
yes and no. I think that Sean Miller, I mean, let's just be straight here. Sean Miller makes 10 times what Buck Richardson makes.
Absolutely.
Sean Miller's name is the big name on the door. He is in charge of the basketball, of men's basketball. He needs to say something. Let's equate this to business. Let's equate this to life. If your company is being investigated by the feds, the president of the company needs to say something. If you're the Catholic Church and you're being investigated, the guy who is the Pope or the Bishop needs to say something. If you, Justin Spears, during the course of working for the Arizona Daily Star, punch somebody out on television and they look for a comment, they're not going to ask you to comment. They're going to ask me to comment.
Absolutely.
Right? You've got to say something. And the fact that not only has Sean Miller not said anything, but by all accounts has been a ghost, says something to me. Archie Miller, now the head coach in Indiana, former Arizona assistant, Sean's brother, had a press conference today about the start of the basketball season, and they asked him about what was going on, and he said that he had only had a chance to talk with Sean once, and it was very briefly, and during that call all he could do was offer his support. Archie Miller may be the closest person on earth to Sean Miller. If what he said is true, that he has only had one brief conversation with his brother over the span of 2 days, then things must be very complicated and very stressful for Sean Miller.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm projecting too much onto this.
Yeah.
But to me, if Arizona was going to make a grand statement defending him, keep in mind Robert Robbins is the same guy who 2 months ago said that Sean Miller would go to some other school, quote, over my dead body. He was willing to make that grand statement defending Sean Miller then. Where was the grand statement defending Sean Miller last night?
Good point. That is a really good point. And pretty much kind of a general consensus here is that by the pieces that are revealed and every hour that goes by in this Sean Miller pretty much being irrelevant and not stepping out says that maybe he's got some sort of involvement. And Jay Billis even tweeted out today saying that Sean Miller is one of the most honest guys he's ever met. And there's no way possible that he's involved in this. But I'm thinking, how much does really Jay Billis know? How much do we really know?
Well, and that's what makes this so surprising is Rick Pitino gets fired because the NCAA was or the FBI was sniffing around. It's the least surprising story in the world, right? USC, which went from bad to really good, really fast, gets busted. And you can sit there and go like, well, you know, okay. They had a major NCAA scandal with Tim Floyd. Sean Miller doesn't fit that mold traditionally. If anything, what I liked about Sean Miller was that Sean Miller did not seem to be one of those sort of too slick for his own good basketball coaches. And again, if we're going to give him the benefit of the doubt, because we have seen no evidence to suggest that he was involved, maybe he still is one of those guys. One of those sort of hardworking, gonna outwork you guys. That is entirely possible. The fact, however, is that he had an assistant coach taped by the FBI taking bribes, where they referred to the bribes as bribes. That another assistant coach, Joe Pasternak, if you can put A and B together, or two and two together, had been in touch with the same sports agents that ended up bribing Book Richardson. There's no evidence that Joe Pasternak took a dime from them or asked for anything from them, but he was, if you read the documents and make the logical leap, which is the FBI did not name who he was, but said that he was on Arizona staff in March and was not on Arizona staff in June. There's only one guy.
Yeah.
And then you look at the report, and again, you need to put two and two together, connect the dots a little bit. The report from the Adidas side of this FBI investigation that says that Arizona was prepared to give a recruit, and if you do the math, it's Nasir Little.
Nasir Little, yep.
That Adidas people had said that Arizona was prepared to pay Little $150,000. Mm-hmm. Now, these are indicted, somewhat dirty guys. It's hearsay. But if all of that is true, or even part of that is true, this is the end of Arizona Wildcats basketball as we know it.
But there was apparently news from the Nasir Little camp that said that that was all completely bogus.
Well, of course
he's going to deny it.
What's he going to say? You're right. Here, take the money back.
Exactly. But also in something like an FBI investigation, for them to come out like that, I think that speaks volumes.
Yeah. The fact that his AAU coach has been jailed over this, and that his AAU team issued a statement on behalf of his family today denying everything. And then I think an hour later issued a statement talking about the wholesale changes that they're making at the AAU team because of this. To me, that's a little counterproductive. You can connect all of these dots. And if this is true, and if half of this is true, right, this is enough to get you thrown in NCAA jail for a very long time. And this is enough to ask for the resignation of your basketball coach. The question that we must answer, or that the U of A will answer here in the next day and a half, is are they willing to stick with Sean Miller throughout this, or do they just want to start over? Justin, you know this. There's a new university president who loves sports. There is a new athletic director who loves sports, obviously.
I hope.
Obviously. I would hope so. This is not Greg Byrne and Ann Weaver Hart, who have years of history with Sean Miller. Greg Byrne and Sean Miller are very close friends. If Greg Byrne were still here, I would expect Greg Byrne to come out and say Sean Miller is still our basketball coach. The fact that Dave Hickey has not and that Robert Robbins has not leads me to wonder if Sean Miller is going to be their basketball coach.
Mm-hmm. And that kind of makes Lorenzo Romar hiring as an assistant coach, just in case, let's just say, worst comes to worst, Sean Miller gets fired.
Mm-hmm.
Lorenzo Romar is a pretty solid replacement for the interim.
Assuming Lorenzo Romar is not implicated in this, and so far we've seen nothing to indicate that he is, he would make some sense. If you're looking to have somebody slide in to take a major college basketball coaching job a month before the season starts, Lorenzo Romar is about as good as you can do.
Mm-hmm.
He is a veteran coach, a West Coast recruiter. His teams, say what you will, his teams are fun as heck to watch.
A lot of talent.
A guy who I think can be best characterized as a good man. The list of flattering stories about Lorenzo Romar are very long. Of course, I think you could say the same thing about Sean Miller, that before, at least before Tuesday, there was no reason to think he was up to anything bad. If it's Lorenzo Romar, this team takes on an entirely different personality. On the court, I think they become a little bit more up-tempo, and I think that their public perception under Romar will be different. He's a little bit of a warm and cuddly guy compared to Sean Miller. And if a team that has all the best players can be considered an underdog, this team probably could, with everything that they're going through. If Lorenzo Romar were to step in, I think that it could be it's a nice fit for them if, again, like you said, worst case scenario, everything blows sky high. You can do a lot worse. He's much better than Russ Pennell. No offense to Russ Pennell.
Yeah, absolutely. And some more Arizona Wildcat basketball news. Raleigh Alkins, who's a sophomore wing, he broke his foot in Tuesday's practice. Mm-hmm. It was a voluntary practice, and he just had surgery yesterday, which would be Wednesday, mm-hmm. and he's expected to be out 8 to 12 weeks. So let's just say if Raleigh Alkins is still on the team for this year, he's expected to return to probably Pac-12 play.
Have we ever figured out, is it Alkins or Alkins? I go Alkins, but like Bruce says Alkins, drives me nuts. I don't know.
I mean, say like Atkins. It's spelled the same way just with a T. Right. You say Alkins. Anyway. Alkins, Alkins, tomato, tomato.
Not the irony of all this. Here's the sadness of all this. Most weeks, Raleigh Alkins breaking his foot would be the biggest story in town, news or sports. Mm-hmm. The fact that he broke his foot in an hour paper, it was on page B4, because there's so much other worser, that's not a word, stuff going on, tells you, A, I think, just what a bad week it's been for Arizona, and B, what I think, I mean, Raleigh Alkins, there's a mention of a player within this FBI report. And they don't name him by name, but they mention that he's a current U of A player who has already been paid. If you look at the current players on their roster who were recruited by Book Richardson, the most accomplished is Raleigh Alkins. I'm not saying it's him, but I'm saying if you're connecting the dots, there is a very real possibility that if the NCAA becomes involved, that whether he's healthy or not, he won't play. Mm-hmm. You know, his health isn't going to be the thing that keeps him off the court if he's held off the court this year. I mean, if he's back in 3 months, let's start a Pac-12 play.
Yeah, perfect time.
Yeah, perfect time. So we shall see. I feel bad even recording these podcasts as we've done daily this week, because it seems like so much changes even while we're asleep.
That these podcasts are irrelevant the next day.
Right. 2 days ago, we were talking about sort of, what this might mean in terms of NCAA probation. And it's 48 hours later, and now we wonder what this might mean for the head basketball coach. Things evolve and things change quickly.
You know, when I started my day mm-hmm. on Monday, or I mean, even mm-hmm. when I woke up mm-hmm. with all the news, I did not think that we'd be talking, will Sean Miller still be the basketball coach at the University of Arizona?
Yeah.
It's just crazy.
It is crazy. And it's complicated because, I mean, Sean Miller may be the most famous man in the city of Tucson. Sean Miller has done everything on the court to be considered one of the great coaches in Arizona history. Probably not on Lute Olson's level, but my goodness, Justin, his winning percentage, I think, is a little bit higher than
it is. All he needs is a ring.
Had he stayed here another 15 years, he would be considered the greatest coach in Arizona history. He is, I think, really well-respected within the community, within the coaching community. I think he likes his privacy here in Tucson. You don't see him out sort of in the forefront of things. So I don't want to paint him with this wide brush. But the fact is that there is a federal indictment out there that talks about misdeeds done by one, maybe two of his coaches, and the fact that at least one of his current players has been paid and that his bosses have not come out to defend him. Maybe I'm just salty, but I don't feel good about this. Yeah. I don't feel like this is going to have a happy ending. And, you know, we know the way the news cycle works, Justin. Tomorrow is Friday. if you are going to have a bad news dump late in the afternoon on a Friday, maybe after primetime stuff is over in the East, that's when you do it. Again, pure speculation on my part, but it's again, I just don't have an easy feeling about this.
Well, I guess some kind of positive light for Arizona Athletics. Board of Regents just approved a $66 million project that will have renovations going to Arizona Stadium, mm-hmm. providing an indoor practice facility mm-hmm. for the football team, McHale Center, Hillenbrand Softball Stadium, and the Hillenbrand Aquatic Center. Ryan, just your thoughts. Just, I mean, it's kind of like, okay, we have all this cycle of negative news. Here's some positive news.
Well, here's another thing. Again, the last 51 weeks, this would have been the big news story today. It would have been, oh my goodness, they're finally going to fix Arizona Stadium, which was built in 1928. And Justin, you've tried to sit at Arizona Stadium. Built for very small people from the 1920s. Mm-hmm. Very short, very thin people. to me, if this is the first step toward renovating Arizona Stadium, it's 30 years too late, but it's still very welcomed. I've been to every stadium in the Pac-12. Arizona Stadium is the worst, and it may be the worst by a long shot. You look at the places that have been renovated relatively cheaply and simply, Stanford, Oregon State, those are two that jump out, Washington State. Those are all incredible places to see a game. For my money, Justin, the best football game-watching experience I've ever been to is at Stanford. Mm-hmm. And it's simply because they put the fans close to the action. There's not a bad seat in the house. It fits their campus and their whole thing perfectly. Mm-hmm. Maybe this is step one toward building an Arizona stadium that reflects University of Arizona campus in Tucson. That'd be great. Football practice facility, we've been talking about it for a decade. It's about time it gets built. The Hillenbrand Pool is hilarious. I'm sorry. It's not hilarious, but it's interesting. Hillenbrand Pool has been leaking water, like in the thousands of dollars worth of water for a long time. That this, you're not going to see a major cosmetic change, I don't believe, to Hillenbrand Pool. You're going to see the pool fixed because it was leaking water. It's a lot of money to fix it.
Yeah, absolutely.
But you know, that's something. And then Mike Candrea gets, I think, what he's been aiming for ever since Arizona's baseball team moved to High Corbett Field. He gets the upgrades needed for Hillenbrand Stadium for softball. It's amazing. You know, $2 or $3 million can't get you a lot in college football or in McHale. Mm-hmm. $2 or $3 million can turn Hillenbrand Stadium into a palace. And I think we'll start to see those changes sooner rather than later. They won't break ground on renovating the Zona Zoo side of Arizona Stadium until at least after the football season.
Of course.
You know, it'd be nice to see some progress in that regard by the time they kick off in 2018.
So, yeah. I mean, it's just kind of a much-needed, I guess, publicity kind of thing for Arizona Athletics, because with all that cycle of bad news, I mean, something like this is very a positive light for
yeah,
them.
Yeah, it's real progress. I mean, Dave Hickey, and I don't know how he's done it, Dave Hickey has managed to at least get the ball rolling on a construction project that Greg Byrne could not get done. Mm-hmm. Certainly part of it is the student fee that will help pay for some of it. But my goodness, Arizona Hillenbrand Softball Stadium and Arizona Stadium are two places that badly need to be renovated and spruced up. And with Hillenbrand, I think it's going to be more a matter of cleaning it up a little bit and making it more modern. With Arizona Stadium, you're going to see wholesale changes, and that's going to start soon.
And Hickey did actually do the renovations when he was a Central Michigan AD
right.
to their football stadiums.
Right.
So.
And when he was at Oregon, his job was to raise money to build buildings. And if you've seen the buildings at Oregon, he did a good job.
That's what he does.
That's what he does.
So, all right, real quick, wrapping up the podcast, Cienega-South Point tonight.
Oh, my!
What do you got?
Well, let's see. Where did you go again, Justin?
I went to Cienega.
What sport did you play when you were there, Justin?
Foosball.
Okay.
Football.
So I'm going to go with Cienega just to be supportive here.
Oh, thank you.
But I will say this. I'm a Catholic school kid, not here in Tucson, but Catholic school from kindergarten through the end of high school. Soft spot in my heart sometimes for the old Catholic school teams. But you know what? Cienega's good, man. I think it's Jamari Joyner's night, and Cienega wins. You pick scores in the paper, so I'll pick a score right here. Let's call it 31-24.
Solid score. I think it's the same thing. I think it's going to come down to fourth quarter, whatever defense or whatever team's defense can make the stop late in the game. So, anyways, Ryan Finley, Justin Spears, thank you for tuning in to the Wildcast podcast. You can always check out our content on Tucson.com, and you can always subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts. And as always, don't forget to follow us on Twitter @TheWildcaster and follow us on Facebook. Thanks for listening, guys.